This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You never go wrong writing about the quarterback or talking about the quarterback. So we always throw Steelers QBs in there.
Quarterback.
And 9 times out of 10, quarterback discussion wins with you guys. You can't get enough of it. Penn's Flyers playing tonight. That's always a big talking point, that great rivalry. Gene Hackman. We lost Gene. Norman Dale from Hoosiers. You want us to talk about sports movies in Gene Hackman's career. And then the hot Steeler combine rumor that is out there. Those are your four options right now.
Thought we might have an early upset where finally the big like Steeler story of the day did not win.
Hot Steeler combine rumor.
It's nudged ahead of old Gene. And we even just take people behind the scenes.
We have a split ticket.
Like, there was a Ross Perot entering the fray here who's going to split the vote. Wrong. Almost 56% of you are still voting for Steelers content. Can Gene Hackman make a run?
Here's what's going on at the combine right now in Fittipaldo in about 15 minutes. Defensive linemen are working out. The big defensive lineman story through the first set of workouts is the performance by this guy, Derek Harmon from Oregon. He transferred from Michigan State. He played 1 year at Oregon. They were the best team in college football in the regular season before they got blown out by Ohio State in the Rose Bowl. Harmon has tested off the charts 240 times under 4 seconds. And
excuse me?
What?
You said under five seconds, which would make him the biggest physical freak ever to walk the earth.
Thank you for correcting me. 240 times under five, which is great for a big man. I think he measured in at, let's see here, 6'4", 313.
Jeez.
And he ran it in under five. They put up his combine stats, and they're basically the same thing as Chris Jones. Now, once upon a time, they put up Chase Claypool's combine stats next to Calvin Johnson, and they were the same exact thing. And that's how we got the Mapletron nickname. And then he sucked here and kicked some guy's head in a parking lot. And
he had that one game with 4 touchdowns.
He also had that game against Tampa Bay with Mitch Trubisky where he made clutch plays and then he put a dip in after the game and almost got sick and threw up.
Yeah, not a great look. Remember his famous first down signal when even Mike Tomlin got pissed off at him in Minnesota?
Mike Tomlin also got mad at him, yes, because the clock was running. He also got mad at him because he said the way to fix things was to play music at practice.
Yeah, that was not a great look either.
Anyways,
yes.
Not just Harmon, but you have both Michigan defensive tackles. You also have the guy from Ole Miss that they were smitten by at the Senior Bowl who they spent so much time with.
Walter Nolan.
And so far, when Steelers media members have asked these defensive linemen, do you have a formal meeting on the books with the Steelers or have you already talked to them in a formal sit-down fashion? They've all said yes. One more, actually. I'm not even done. Carl Dunbar, who's their defensive line coach, tweets coming in that he is actively involved in these drills right now at the combine, which does not happen every year. It's not like he's always a part of what the defensive linemen do. He is sometimes. He's out there this year. So they want like hands-on one of their coaches working with these guys, putting them through the drills. So all signs point to this being a top draft priority. Is that what you want? I put that Twitter question out there before Total Request Thursday. How would you feel about the Steelers? Do you want the Steelers to take a defensive lineman with the 21st pick? 54% said, yes, they do. They prefer D-line over any other position on the field. That's called a copycat league, having watched Philadelphia dominate the Chiefs with only a four-man rush.
I mean, one of the ways to overcome what I would consider to be some dinosaur-level schemes is just have better players than everybody else, especially in the trenches. So if you're going to have a pretty, not rudimentary, but a pretty straightforward attack on offense, we want to pound the ball on the run and then throw play action off of it. All right, you better have good offensive linemen. If we want to get after the quarterback without having to blitz a ton so we can drop more people into coverage, well, you better have great defensive line depth.
But all things being equal, if you have a wide receiver that's similarly graded to a defensive tackle in this draft and you're getting closer to being on the clock and you're looking at guys at two different positions that basically have the same grade, it's an apples to oranges comparison because they don't play the same position. You're trying to figure out, would we rather take a defensive tackle here or the wide receiver?
I would take the wide receiver this year because it's a thinner class and the defensive line class is notably deeper.
So it's a supply-demand thing then for you. It's not strictly take the best player. It's like you do with fantasy football.
If you have them on your board at the same spots, you take the guy that has less supply. And there's fewer great wide receivers purportedly in this year's class than there are defensive tackles or defensive linemen generally. Like, the thought is you can even be in the third, fourth round and you're probably going to be able to find a defensive lineman that can help you more or less right away.
Donnie, do you agree with Chris on that?
Yeah, I do. With pretty much every, what does Joe say, every syllable and half syllable?
I agree with every syllable and half syllable that you just uttered.
Now, if it gets through the first, let's say, four receivers? Like, McMillan for me should still be
McMillan, Igbuka, Burton.
He should be the top dog, getting the top
Golden
dollar.
From Texas.
Then you have the other three after that. If
you don't put the Texas receiver in there?
I just said Golden. No, he said the other three. Golden's
the other three guys.
Burton,
there.
Golden, and Igbuka.
Yeah. So they're all in the same category.
I feel like they're,
to me, McMillan, it's McMillan step
tier.
Down and then other guys who are either first or like second. Second guys.
You should consider wide receiver if any of those guys are there. And then, obviously, just play it based on if one of these really top defensive linemen fall, or think to yourself, we get one of the better receivers here, one of the best receivers here, double up on defensive line because it is loaded. They have 41 defensive linemen at the combine.
And for context, that's a lot more than in
haven't there been like
years.
So last
like half
year,
that
last
many?
Year, for example, they had 25.
Yeah, barely half that many.
The only defensive tackle that I would take over any of those wide receivers is the kid from Michigan. Because he's looked at as like a Jalen Carter type. Graham?
A game wrecker.
But he's probably going to go in the top five, and he doesn't
There's
have
no
any
character stuff that's going to make him
no
drop.
No injury history or no off-the-field stuff that's going to cause him to free fall in the draft.
If they went wide receiver and then a pair of defensive tackles with the next two picks, I'd be fine with that.
Well, that makes the other thing they did at quarterback today interesting. So they had a formal sit-down with Quinn Ewers, the Texas quarterback, and the consensus there is that he's probably going to be a third or fourth round pick. So are they thinking, going back to what Rooney said at his season-ending press conference on quarterback, talking about we could either bring in a quarterback or draft a quarterback. First, second round, not worth it. Late day two, early day three, it is worth it to take a shot on a guy. The interesting thing about Ewers to me is that they played him over Arch Manning the entire year. And it would be one thing if they did it at Texas last year when the kid was a true freshman. But the guy that everyone is saying suck in 2026 for, who's barely played because of who is, you know, his family tree, this guy, a team that was competing for a national championship and won the SEC regular season, the best league in the country, their coach said this quarterback is better than this generational, potentially all-time great talent ever right now. Now, maybe you might say that, Chris, that's kind of like at Pitt when Wani played Pelko over Flacco. I don't know. Maybe.
I mean, I think there are examples. I mean, Tom Brady had to split time with Drew Henson at Michigan.
Yes, but Henson was considered an all-time great athlete. The dude was drafted by the Yankees. He played Major League Baseball and pro football.
I know, but I remember
even, as a guy with a goofy haircut.
I know, but I remember even then it was obvious Brady was better than him, at least when I remember watching those
games.
Yeah,
but okay, but the difference is that situation's flipped.
Yes, the Arch Manning
character.
That's
like Henson was looked at as like a one-of-one athlete, the way that Manning was, and he still couldn't get on the field over at Ewers.
The thing I thought was interesting about Manning is the couple of times you'd see him because Ewers got hurt, I thought he looked pretty impressive, but apparently not enough.
Usually against bad teams, but
not enough for Sark to like to be. I guess Sark didn't want to like upset the apple cart either. I feel like I don't want to risk this if it throws a wrench into my season. I don't know, man. I'd be comfortable just drafting like a potential future backup in the fourth round or something like that.
Why?
I don't know. Get me to the bridge year. I want to see Arch Manning for a year, and if it's not him, it'll be somebody else from what is just universally regarded, Arch Manning aside even, as a better class.
Oh, so you're saying, like, just take somebody, like, near the end of the draft just for a body?
No, like, you could take, I think fourth round would be my sweet spot. Like, who's the kid
and
from...
And it's with the expectation that the guy's like a Josh Dobbs or Mason Rudolph?
Probably, yeah. What was the kid, is it Shuff from Louisville, the guy who's like 26 already? He's old as dirt?
Yes.
But
my guy,
like,
Greg Cosell.
Cosell says he's the second best quarterback in the draft. But he's like, he's almost a Brandon Whedon situation. He's been in college for like 100 years. I
don't
know.
Just take a swing on that guy instead of.
I would rather take a swing in the middle rounds of what is obviously.
So you don't count the third round as a middle. I agree with you because you usually try to get starters in the third round.
Right. I would rather try to get three starters and then take a swing starting in the fourth round in a weak class. Your opportunity cost is so much more palatable there because you're not taking a first, second, or third round pick on a guy that you're taking a swing on. Those three picks have been occupied by players you expect to contribute in year one. Anything after that is kind of gravy, I would say, at any position, but especially quarterback. I still just want to set the table to have a chance to draft my true franchise quarterback when the draft is here in 2026.
But I don't think that drafting somebody in the third round would prevent you from doing that unless you actually hit the lottery and that third round pick was good enough to be your starter.
I'm saying I would draft a quarterback potentially in the fourth round, fully expecting to draft another one in the first next year.
Right, but what I'm saying
back
to you is, if they drafted Quinn Ewers in the third round, would you come on the air Monday and say, well, I guess that rules out them taking a first-round pick?
No.
Yeah, me neither.
No, I wouldn't. Fake John and Robinson has chimed in and said, the tape bros and scouts are pretty much united that Manning is a superior prospect to Ewers and that it was a Sark issue, that he just wasn't comfortable putting him out there. The tape bros, they love Arch Manning.
Ewers is a... I would put him in fun, the fun category.
What about him is fun?
He's like, to me, he's like a Jameis, or he's like a Ryan Fitzpatrick.
God.
Or he's like a Gardner Minshew type.
So he's going to slang it around there.
That's what I think.
I don't see any, you know what, like I watched a decent amount of Texas because it's the SEC, so you get a lot of those games and you don't have to go searching for them. I guess what I would say about him is he got them where he got them this year. Does anything about him like jump off the page to you trait-wise? Like, I will say
he's
this.
He's got a good arm.
I will say this about Jameis. At Florida State, he had a terrific arm. You knew he had, like, just... And they went
overall. He was a baseball player, too.
But, like, I guess when I watch Ewers, I feel like I am just watching a guy. Like, there's not some defining trait that I'm like, holy bleep, Quinn Ewers can do that on a football field?
Well, Chris, I mean, people said the same thing about Brady. That's why he went in the sixth round.
Okay, he's the exception that more or less proves the rule.
I agree with you, and I'm not advocating for them to do this. All I'm saying is I'm trying to think about why they would take everything they do in terms of meeting with guys is strategic. You know, there's a method to the madness here. There's a reason why they want to do it. I mean,
would you consider Ewers a somewhat mobile player? for the position?
I mean, that's even like maybe being.
Is he more or less
nice.
Mobile?
He's more of a. He's way more of a pocket quarterback. Okay, and I'm not just saying that because he's a white guy with a goofy
just
haircut.
Specifically, tell me, like, relative to college, was he more or less mobile at Texas than Kenny was his time at Pitt?
I think less.
All right. Well, I didn't think Kenny was a very mobile NFL player because of his anticipation being lacking.
Yes, Donnie?
Well, I was going to say, didn't Texas also bring in Arch Manning a lot
in running situations?
Because
ironically enough, a guy who's in the Manning family tree is more like Archie than Peyton, one of the least athletic looking people.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
Still have time to vote on our 5:30 topic on our Twitter page. Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. It's the time we bring in Ray Fittipaldo, sponsored by the Western PA Injury Attorneys, Larry Kelly and Joe George from LGKG, your home team. Ray covering the combine for the Post-Gazette. And your colleague, Ray, Jerry Dulac, reporting Steelers meeting with Najee Harris's agent. Also doubling down on this, Tomlin loves Najee and wants him back. Can someone like that movie, Celtic Pride, where they kidnapped the Utah Jazz player and stuffed him in a trunk of a car in order to help Boston beat Utah in the NBA Finals, Can somebody do that to Mike between now and May 10th, March 10th, to keep the Steelers from re-signing him?
I mean, listen, he does have some say-so in those decisions.
It's got a lot.
Yeah, a lot. I would agree with you. Will be interesting to see how this one plays out, though, because, from two sides. As you know, the Steelers could have paid him less if they picked up the option last May. And the other aspect of this is, Najee Harris has a once and maybe a lifetime chance to test his value on the open market. He would be crazy not to do that. So, well, you know, I understand Jerry's report. I get it. I don't think this is going to be decided until second, third week of March, once the new league year gets here and he finds out what he's really worth.
Ray, I'm just more worried about the idea that they are enamored with the idea of bringing him back, because it just feels like a whole definition of insanity situation. The guy is one of the least efficient heavy use backs, probably the least efficient heavy use back in the league, and I don't see how potentially, or how being open to that guy coming back is reflective of the Steelers having learned any lessons so far about what does and doesn't work.
Yeah, and I'm with you, and I get that Tomlin likes his durability and, you know, the best ability is availability. I get all that. But to me, guys, when I watched Jaylen Warren and Arthur Smith's offense when he was healthy, I thought clearly he was the better back for Arthur Smith's system. So, you know, I'm curious, you know, if Jaylen is A1 this year and they go to the draft to get a guy, do they get a guy like Najee, or do they get a guy who is a little bit more like Jaylen Warren? For me, I want to see more guys like Jaylen Warren. I want to see guys who can catch it out of the backfield. I want to see guys who have a little bit of ability to pop a big play every once in a while. So, to me, that's the type of running back I want to see in this system. I think Arthur Smith, you know, worked with what he had last year. I think the Steelers' offense could be a little bit better if they were a little bit more diverse in the backfield.
Ray, can you explain this, what appears to be, to me, like something that's nonsensical or illogical? How is it that Russell Wilson wants more money than Justin Fields, and that's not something that automatically eliminates Russell Wilson from coming back to the Steelers?
Yeah, I mean, listen, Russell Wilson's made a lot of money in this league. He may not want to play for $15 million a season. He might just say, hey, Ciara, let's go enjoy retirement in San Diego or whatever. And how could you begrudge a guy if he truly doesn't want to play for a certain amount of money? I do know the Steelers aren't going to go above a certain number. I don't think it's going to be crazy. And
do you know what that number is?
I think it's probably somewhere in the range of 25 to 30 max. I don't think they're going to go above 30. And, I think I mentioned this on the morning show yesterday. The unfortunate thing for the Steelers is I don't think Russ's agents want to make a deal until they know what Matthew Stafford's going to get paid. So that, like the Najee Harris thing, might force this to drag on a while. The only thing that could save the Steelers is if they just make their mind up, say, hey, Justin, we want you. Here's the number. Take it or leave it. Maybe Justin Fields takes it. Who knows?
How motivated do you think Fields is to go and test the market versus actually stay somewhere for 2 years in a row with the same coordinator and try to get some semblance of stability, even if he knows he's probably a stopgap and a bridge guy?
Yeah, I know people were connecting the dots and saying, you know, the Jets might be an option, or Team B or Team C might be an option. But, I mean, Justin Fields had success here. I think he knows Arthur Smith likes working with him. And I think I've mentioned this before, too. Like, why, if you're him, if you're Justin Fields, why do you want to start over again in an entirely different situation when you're trying to establish yourself as a starter? So I'm not selling Justin Fields to, you know, take $10 million a year. But if I'm him and the Steelers offer me, like, $15 million a year, I'd be really tempted to take it and say, okay, let's go. Let's play ball.
Let's talk about what's happening at the Combine today. So they meet with Quinn Ewers formally, a quarterback that's not a tier one quarterback in the draft, but probably a tick or two below that, a guy that's projected by most to go in like the third round right now.
Right.
Do you think that that's actually a realistic outcome here? I mean, Art did say maybe draft a quarterback in this draft when he last talked, Ray. So yeah, they're doing their homework on that kind of quarterback. Your thoughts?
Yeah, late day two, day three types of quarterbacks. I felt that was the most likely situation all along. And I don't know if you guys picked up on it, and it's really not a big deal, but what Omar said on Tuesday about bringing back some combination of two or three of these guys, I sort of read that as Kyle Allen's going to come back in some kind of role, whether it's number two or number three. I think they like Kyle Allen. I think he did a good job last year. He's a good guy for that quarterback's room. So whether Allen is the two or the three, we'll see. And obviously that'll depend on if they draft a guy second, third, fourth round. If they do that, Allen's the two. If not, maybe they bring in a vet to be the backup for Fields, if Fields is the guy.
But certainly nothing they would do in this year's draft at quarterback would preclude them just going right back to the well and looking for the real deal next year, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely not. And, you know, Drew Aller, if he can clean up some things, is going to be there. Arch Manning, I don't want to say it's going to be twice as good as this year, but, this quarterback's class this year really pales in comparison to last year and some of the other recent years here. So this is not the year to be in the market for a franchise quarterback.
Another thing Art Rooney talked about was replenishing the defensive line. There's a ton of good defensive line prospects who are running right now and working out in Indianapolis. Do you think at 21 they would be more interested in taking someone to play defensive tackle or play defensive end and either take Ogunjobi's spot or eventually take Cam Hayward's, Ray?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question, and it's really a debate in the NFL right now. You know, there are guys like Kenneth Grant who are becoming more valuable because teams are re-enamored with the running game, and you need guys like that to, stuff the run. And
but he's not really a three-down guy is what you're saying when you put that out there, right?
But there's the reason he's in the range for the Steelers is there's that potential that he could be. Listen, two down run-stopping nose aren't going to get drafted in the first round. But a guy like Kenneth Grant might because he's kind of a freak athlete. I don't know. They don't let us in there to watch. So I don't know if he's run yet or if he's jumped yet. But he was talking yesterday about running in the 4.8s or 4.9s at 340 pounds. I mean, he's a freak athlete. So guys like that, you know, you get hung up on the potential, what he could be. That's the reason I might go for a guy like Grant. A couple of other names. Derek Harmon
He's having
Oregon.
A ridiculous day.
Yeah, he's having a monster day.
He looks like the ultimate freak show out there, Ray.
And by the way, okay, Grant's not working out, said Donnie. He's passing on all that
hamstring
stuff.
Hamstring strain in his evaluation.
Derek Harmon, prototypical five technique. He watches a ton of tape on Cam Hayward. He would be a replacement for Cam Hayward. A guy like Walter Nolan, you know, probably more of a three technique. He's a penetrating three. He patterns his game after Aaron Donald. I can go on and on. I mean, they can get those are the first round guys. They can get guys in the second round who could probably start, even good depth guys in the third round who could be good rotational players. It's just a stacked year for defensive tackles, and they should take advantage of it.
Ray, if they had hypothetically on their big board that Andy Weidel puts together, a wide receiver and a defensive tackle, defensive lineman, rated exactly the same, just for argument's sake, in the first round, what position of those two would they take?
Run it up, defensive tackle.
Wow.
Even with supply being much greater at that position than wide receiver.
And even with this scathing review of Roman Wilson on the Steelers' website, did you have a chance to see that, Ray? Oh, my God.
I didn't see it, but I heard about it.
Can I read it to you?
Yeah, go ahead.
This is from Labriola. My understanding of the situation is that at no point was there a legitimate level of confidence that Roman Wilson understood the offense and his responsibilities within it to the degree that would allow him to execute at game speed.
Yeah. That's what happens when you get injured on the third day of training camp. It's hard to, what's Mike's phrase?
That's one of those bullet trains in Tokyo at that point, yeah. Ray.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised at that. It's happened to other guys. I mean, their entire 3/5 of their draft picks basically redshirted. Logan Lee redshirted, Faiotano redshirted. It was just one of those years. Injuries really wreaked havoc on this draft class. I guess, you know, that was bad for 2024, but potentially could be a good thing for 2025.
Bottom line, do you think Najee Harris is back with the Steelers?
I do not.
Okay.
I think they're going to move on.
Pony's feeling a little sigh of relief.
Thank you for
here,
being
Ray.
My ray of sunshine.
Don't come back at me if it turns out the other way, Pony.
Never. We wouldn't do that. Even if you think him being gone is at the goal line, Ray, we would never do that.
By the way, Brandon Ayuk trade talk heating back up, Ray.
Oh, man.
Investigate that.
Right back at it.
See you, Ray.
All right, guys. I'll talk to you.
There you go.
Pony, Vrabel's being interviewed right now on NFL Network. His shirt looks like a magic eye, one of those things you're supposed to stare at and then an object appears
it
out of
really
it.
It is.
I mean, what
and
a
what's
terrible
going on with
job.
The cufflinks?
Well, no, he's got the sleeves, like, rolled up. Like, you would normally do that if the cuffs of the shirt contrast with the rest of the shirt. Like, Robert Kraft would wear those, like, blue shirts with white cuffs.
Yeah, he's trying too hard to be cool.
It's just a very weird look for him all
around. I picture Vrabel as more of a Donnie and a Fetterman type. Don't you, Don? I kind of half expected him to go in there with like a cutoff
hoodie. He looks like
he's
going out to the club right now, not talking with Rich Eisen and Daniel Jeremiah.
5:30. That means it's time for your listener-requested segment. We give you four options. The Penguins play the Flyers tonight, harkening back memories of Flyers... Penguins scuffles from yesteryear. Max Talbot being honored tonight at the game. Unfortunately, only 12.5% of you wanted us to talk about that.
Mm.
Steelers QBs, when in doubt, talk quarterback.
Who said that to you once?
A former host here at the station who now thinks that no one wants to hear from him anymore. 25.6 said, let's go there.
Oh, man.
30.1% of you said, oh, goody. The NFL scouting combine is going on. There's all kinds of cool stuff happening there, like reporters trying to beat each other up, including a hot Steelers rumor. But alas, only 30.1% of you percent wanted us to talk about that.
Oh, man. Donnie, our long national nightmare is over.
31.7% said, screw all of that. A fantastic thespian passed away at 95 years old. Along with his wife and dog.
Oh, that part's kind of depressing.
Gene Hackman.
I'm proud that Gene won. And even with the tragedy of his passing and kind of the odd circumstances, we can talk a little Hackman.
Donnie, if you don't mind, can you go back to around 9 o'clock this morning? And I want to hear the audio of Doran asking Callis the name of the actor who played the main character in the movie Tommy Boy. And just
around
here,
9 o'clock.
Right around 9 o'clock. Okay. In honor of Gene Hackman, I would say Hoosiers is the best basketball sports movie of all time. Would you care to debate that?
Some people might
what
say.
What else is in the team picture?
Blue Chips, Hoop Dreams, maybe if you're looking
Hoop
for.
Hoop Dreams is a documentary, not a movie.
It's still a film.
Coach Carter.
Chris, a documentary can't win Best Picture. Movies and documentaries are two totally different things.
Are they shot on film?
Pornos are shot on film. Should they be part of this conversation too?
They're movies.
Home movies are shot on film. Should they be part of this? Come on now.
I'll submit Blue Chips as a potential rival. What about Air Bud?
You know that dog's dead.
Yeah, I don't want to think about that. I always think about that in those movies.
Pretty
man.
Crazy, though, that they were able to teach that dog how to do that. That was before AI. The dog literally knew how to, like, hit the ball off his nose and in the basket.
Now you'd have some computer-generated
exactly.
Crap.
That was not, for those who don't know, that was not some kind of, like, camera trick. The dog actually knew how to make a basket. What an art form.
I think
you train
right,
your dog to do that, and you pitch it.
Boom.
To Disney. And now he's getting, right? Like the dog had to get paid to be in the movie, I would think. Do dog actors get paid?
Union scale? Or they give him like a bunch of milk bones?
Just, you train a dog to be in a movie or TV
show. Does a
show,
dog the actor owner? Have an agent? Has to.
Yeah.
Can you, wait, isn't that like an Arrested Development bit that one of the people's jobs is he's an agent for dogs or something like that?
For animal actors.
I swear it's like a bit on a sitcom.
All right, so I would say Hoosiers is the quintessential.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think ultimately you're right. I think Blue Chips is probably the only one that's in the team picture.
How about hockey?
I mean, it's either Miracle for serious ones. I think Slapshot's going to get a ton of run.
From, what do you mean, ton of run where?
Like as a hockey movie, even though it's a comedy.
Yes.
Like, but
I didn't know we were differentiating like...
So what's the more iconic movie, Miracle or Slapshot, basically? We going to throw Mystery Alaska in there?
Have you ever seen that?
No. I've heard that's actually pretty good, though.
The Rangers play a team from Alaska, and I think the team from Alaska wins. Sorry, spoiler alert.
Yeah, they do. I mean, no, the Rangers beat them 10-2, and then they go home.
See, I'd always love for a movie to actually have that as the ending.
Right? They get all the way there to play the Rangers, and they
get here comes
Messier just lighting people up, and Brian Leetch firing one-timers.
I think Slapshot is the quintessential
pick there.
Hockey
what about
sports movie.
Baseball's got a bunch of them.
You know, right now I'm a Moneyball guy.
What about Eight Men Out? Durham.
I think no. The Bull Durham, the Susan Sarandon
Major League
parts in Bull Durham just drive me crazy. I think it's a good movie, but
why do they drive you crazy? What don't you like about Annie?
I think her the heartthrob or like she being this like sex pistol that has everybody on the Durham Bulls
hot to trot just fluttering.
It never worked for me.
Do you know, I just read a story about that. She wanted the role really bad, and I guess the director did or whatever, but the studio had said she's like basically not enough of a bombshell and she's a little too old because she was in her early 40s. Do you know what she did? No BS. Read the story. She like put on a very low-cut dress and basically like walked into the producer or the studio head's like office and just leaned over the desk and started chatting with him like casually, and he finally got the point.
Is it true that she was not dating Tim Robbins until they were on set together? So
I
he fell
so.
For the same thing as the movie.
They've also said that it's both of their respectively, it's their favorite movie each of them has ever done. And Robbins did Shawshank, for God's sake.
Holy crap. I never knew that.
He said it's the favorite movie they've ever worked on.
Are they still married?
Yeah.
Well, that's probably why.
Is it their favorite movie because
way.
They maybe started romantically getting involved for real on the set?
That's what I'm saying.
Didn't they say that about Tom Cruise and Demi Moore on the set of A Few Good Men, that they were just boinking every day, basically? I think you told me that.
And she was out of control hot back then, so that's a tremendous job by him.
I mean, hasn't she aged pretty gracefully, though, too?
Here was Callis when asked about Tommy Boy this morning.
Movie number one, Tommy Boy.
Never seen it. Never seen it.
Man, if I were Doran's face had to just be...
Really?
Chris Farley.
Doran's face had to just have like sunk completely.
That's unacceptable.
Although Doran had a very controversial movie take this morning. He called Departed like a bad movie. Just said Departed sucks. Listen, I am not like the biggest mob movie guy.
I'm not Siskel or Ebert,
but
like, that
seems a little
bit harsh.
But Departed is a very good movie, dude.
But I'm sure that there are good movies that I pan and say are overrated.
A lot of people say The Deer Hunter, which won Best Picture, isn't even good.
A little long, but it's
also very depressing, right?
Extremely. Well, the one actor died right after it was made because he had cancer the entire time. Meryl Streep's boyfriend in that movie.
Correct.
The guy who played Fredo in Godfather.
Great character actor. Did you know that guy was only in 5 movies, every one of which was nominated for Best Picture?
That is an incredible
what
stat.
What a flex for that
That's
guy.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Daniel Day-Lewis.
Eat your heart out, pal.
Exactly. Quintessential football movie.
Whew. See, I feel like I always pick one that isn't number one for everybody else.
The Longest Yard?
No, I like Friday Night Lights.
I like it too. I feel like
the majority though would say Remember the Titans, even though that movie is very Hollywooded up.
Yeah, here's what I don't like about.
But that doesn't really bother me.
Here's what I don't like about Friday Night
but
Lights.
But it could like, I mean, all those movies have some huge inaccuracies. Like Friday Night Lights leaves out a lot
Rudy.
Of things that they probably should have had in. Rudy, nobody even knows if it even happened. Blindside certainly did not go the way.
Oh my God, no, it did not.
They tried to portray it.
I still have never seen that movie from beginning to end.
I mean, they just make Michael Orr seem like he like cannot function as a human being.
Yeah, they make it seem like the guy can't even like write his own name.
Right,
that's not cool.
That's why he said they Hollywooded it up. Here's my only problem: like, what I have such a hard time getting past with Friday Night Lights, which I think I like that Friday Night Lights does not have like a triumphant ending. Like, I do like that they give you the real scoop and then they kind of give you an epilogue. I just cannot get past the fact that it's supposed to be 1988 in West Texas, and they got the swankiest black and white Under Armour uniforms of all time, like 10 years minimum, if not more, before Under Armour even was created.
I do think, which maybe this is looking into it too much, I don't know. I feel like when I watch that, the football scenes are actually realistic.
Like they are, but some guys are getting flipped a lot in that movie. Like, guys are getting, like, not, you know, they're all going Najee Harris trying to jump and then getting, like, somersaulted in
midair. Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of that, but...
Guys get hit hard in that movie, it looks like. You look like you're watching dudes just get the snot beat out of them, I think.
Football's got the worst collection of movies.
Although, doesn't Mike Winchell in, like, the deciding play, they basically call, like, a design quarterback run from 20 yards out, or is he scrambling at that point?
He's scrambling.
Okay.
Can I just, right wiggle 34 switchblade?
Baseball, golf, boxing.
Boxing's got the best sports
movies
of all.
They all have better movies.
And you know what? We screwed up if we want to talk about a great movie, like sports movie character, Jake LaMotta in Raging Bull. That might be the best sports movie ever made.
I've only seen it once.
That, you want to talk about a grim movie right there. Oof.
But still, I mean, doesn't hold a candle to our man Big Earn McCracken from Kingpin.
Jake LaMotta, that iconic shot of him against the rope sitting there, and then there's Big Earn spinning around on the floor.
I don't know with football movies, man.
A lot of people would say Any Given Sunday just because of the Pacino speech.
I remember watching that, though, and like Pony, a lot of people overhyped that movie.
How about
the
Little
speech
Giants?
Is great. The Pacino speech is great. And I do like the twist at the end with Pacino and Jamie Foxx.
I openly...
But otherwise... Like, okay, they made a movie, put a bunch of former football players in there as, like, random head coaches and execs. And, like, that's one where,
how
like...
How about the Water Boy?
I love the Water
See,
Boy.
See, I might actually say that one.
Love the Water Boy.
Because it's got the Fonz. It's got Henry Winkler.
And then you get to the Bourbon Bowl, and you just got Musburger and Dan Fouts.
I don't know why, but
they're playing,
like,
Tom Sawyer.
It's underrated,
like,
that it's just called the Bourbon Bowl.
That's the football movie I've watched the most.
My Bobby Boucher don't play no football.
No cap. That's the football movie I've seen
Stop.
More than
don't
anything else.
Don't say that anymore. Do not say that ever again.
I like both versions of The Longest Yard.
Never seen them.
Me neither.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.